Welcome to episode 3 of the podcast session. I hope you have listened to the first 2 episodes that we've talked about union with Christ. You've heard Casey Stein, Jim Ellis, and myself, Jared Lee, talk about this important topic. Today we're going to talk about purpose. We've covered a little bit of what union with Christ says about our identity. We have talked about what it says about our destination. And now today we're talking about purpose. I find this to be a really important thing because so many people I know seem aimless and wandering and hopeless. Like, what is the purpose? What is the meaning? Because so much of what we seek meaning in is fruitless. So we're going to start this episode out. You'll hear a couple of book recommendations, which we highly recommend if you're a reader. You take the time to pick those up. Get them on audio if you like. You can find them on audible.com and listen to us plug those, listen to this episode, and feel free to come back and comment to us. Let us know what you think of this. Let us know if union with Christ helps you to regain any kind of purpose or meaning.
Before we jump into conversation, just kind of discussing this idea of union with Christ, there's kind of a couple books that we've been using kind of just to refer to. But one of them is actually the book called Union with Christ by Rankin Wilburn. Excellent book. We've read through it. And even for this episode, this part 3 that we're doing, we're looking at chapter 9. We're just really this idea that union with Christ gives us a new purpose. It helps us know what we followers of Jesus are here for. So that's the first thing I plug. Jared, you said you had something to plug.
Yeah, I also just want to mention one other book that was also very good. And I was struggling. I wanted our elders a year ago or so when we started that book, Union with Christ, I wanted us to study this topic. And the other one that I was choosing between is called Found in Him. It's by Elise Fitzpatrick. Fantastic book, too. Really struggled. Ultimately, I chose Union with Christ because there's a lot of practical stuff in it. But I thought she did a fantastic job on the thing, too. So those are 2 really good books that I would highly recommend reading if this is a topic you'd like to explore more of.
All right. So we are going to explore the theme of purpose in connection to union with Christ today. We'll just all open it up to you, Jared and Casey. We'll start with you, Casey. What are your initial thoughts when you think of purpose? What are you here for? What are we here for in connection to union with Christ?
I think we all have a unique and very special purpose. I think, you know, for me personally, you know, I having gone through a lot of very interesting things in the last 6 years with my health, I've found a very defined purpose in being able to relate to people that have other things going on. And I would say before that I probably didn't know what my purpose was, and I would be lost in that. You know, my purpose was maybe to be a dad or, you know, whatever I was doing at the time. But now I find my purpose in being that and being maybe listening better and helping people in that. And, you know, so I think, you know, God has definitely revealed to me my purpose in that and being better, you know, being a better elder.
I got to ask, I know it's somewhat unrelated, but I wonder what role suffering has had in that.
Suffering has had a very big role in that. You know, there's been a lot of times where I've, you know, cried myself to sleep because I don't know what to do, you know. You know, it's tough because I don't want to share everything that I have going on with Melissa because I don't want to burden her with that. I don't want to talk to my closest friends about it because I don't want to burden them with that. So I bear that burden by myself, and sometimes that's tough because it just becomes a lot. And, you know, through this church, I've learned to open up to more people and become more grounded in my faith. And, you know, I would say that's probably been a very big part of it. But suffering has been both good and bad, mm-hmm. but I would say the suffering has been probably one of the hardest but best things that I have had to endure.
Right. Yeah, I think that I suspect whether it's really on the forefront, whether you're really aware of it or not, but that union with Christ as you walk through that has enabled you to open up, to be, you said, connect to community, to be real. I think there's something in that that allows you to live into that more fully. Mm. You know?
Yes. You know, it brings you into community, and that whole idea of giving you a sense of belonging, giving you a sense of, like Jim said, purpose, I think, you know, it gives me something to do. It gives me a reason to not sit at home and, I, for lack of a better word, deteriorate, so whether it was helping Paul with chairs last winter or shoveling the sidewalks or, you know, just coming down here and walking around, being involved here has given me a sense of purpose that I wouldn't have otherwise had. And so it's that union of Christ, even though it's a very simple union in some cases, and then sometimes it's very complex because sometimes that's the only person I feel like I can talk to. It's, that union is very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my initial thoughts, and I'll let you answer the question, Jared, but my initial thoughts, too, when you just share a little bit about suffering, there seems to be a tragic misunderstanding that if you are saved or if you have union with Christ, that you'll never experience suffering, which would be not that everybody experiences suffering at the same level, but because we're human, we experience suffering of some kind at some point in our life, whether it's our own death or a death of somebody else close to us, or we experience an illness or tragedy in our own lives. But merely because we're humans, there is sin, a suffering of some kind in our lives that we either experience or we know somebody who's experienced something. And when it comes to union with Christ, like, I think it could possibly be the most beneficial thing, because if we have union with Christ, we look at Christ's life. Like, what did Christ, like, he didn't save humanity or those who had faith in him. He didn't save them through, like, skipping through a nice green field. He saved them through the cross.
Right.
You know, and so we have this God, we have the Son of Man, we have Jesus who suffered. And it's almost like he went before us, so that no matter whatever suffering we've experienced, like, we know that he's gone through it. And so there's almost like a union that comes with that. Though I might be going through this thing in my life right now, when I look about, like, where I'm going or what am I here for, what my identity is, we can connect it easily to what Jesus has gone through, what his identity. You know, it's like we can connect it easier. It would be hard to connect it to Jesus if Jesus didn't die or didn't suffer or didn't go through what he went through. You know.
Yeah. You were going to ask me the question.
Yeah, the initial question. Thoughts on when a union with Christ with purpose. Like, what are you here for? How do we connect? So we know our identity. We have union with Christ. Our identity is, you know, we're a child of God. It gives us this sense of, there's nothing we can do because it's already been done. Last part, we talked about, like, where we're headed, what our destiny is, like, what the end might look like, but how that's changing us right now, the already and not yet. And now it's, okay, what's our new purpose? What is our purpose when it comes with union with Christ? What are your initial thoughts?
Well, I was thinking about a conversation we had this morning. This idea. So Jesus showed up. Let me get to that. Jesus shows up and he starts talking about his purpose. What was his purpose? To point to the Father.
Mm.
I mean, that was his goal. That was his only goal. ever. That's what he said over and over again. You know, just to see him, to do his will. And I know this can be controversial, right? But if you look, there's lots of references in the Bible where God himself says, I will rescue my people for my name's sake. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say because they need to be saved. He doesn't, you know, I mean, over and over again, it's like, these are my people, so I will save them. Mm-hmm. Not, they're wonderful, or they're just so lovable fools. He's like, they're idiots, they're lost, they're wayward, but for my name, for my glory, for my fame, I will rescue them. And I think there's something, when you take these ideas and point them together, it's like God's highest goal seems to be his own glory. Jesus' goal seems to be the Father's glory. And I think in that, maybe our purpose, that's really hard because as a person, I mean, I mentioned this a couple episodes back, I want my glory. Mm. I want, you know, whether sometimes that comes in the form of comfort. I want to be left alone, live my life. Sometimes it comes in the form of status or recognition for something I've done. But that's what I really want. And I think our purpose shifts to, well, what John the Baptist said, he must become greater, I must become less. Sort of this idea of pointing to him becomes more purpose. Now, I'm not, I say that out loud and I'm like, yeah. Well, I don't have any right to say such.
Yeah.
But I do think that that's kind of what we should be wrestling with.
Yeah.
I certainly should.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, even just thinking, like, from what you're saying, like you mentioned a couple episodes ago, like becoming who you already are.
Right.
It's almost like we don't know who we are.
Right. Yeah.
And so we're living as if in that way. But if we have union with Christ, even if we recognize that we are a follower of Jesus, there's times where we don't live like that. Mm-hmm. So, our, you know, even what we're here for, it's not like we're trying to do things to achieve or get it. But it's like, it's almost like living out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a child of God. And
so I'll act like it.
So act like it, you know. I mean, it seems harsh, but then you have the people that take it like really far. It's like, so act like it, so you have to follow all these rules, right, by acting like it. And it's, mm-hmm, like, you know, it's not that.
Right.
It's not that.
It's like Jesus said too, you know, if you love me, you will obey.
Yeah.
But we turn that around and say, I've got to prove that I love him, so I'll obey.
Yeah.
He's talking about affection. Yeah. Like, if you understand the reality of your position, if you understand who you are in me, if you understand these things, union with Christ, you're not going to have to worry about obedience.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you're going to live like it. You just are.
Yeah, so when it comes to purpose, you know, what are we here for? How would you connect just grace to that and union with Christ? For those that didn't see you, they weren't streaming watching that, they may have heard you breathe in.
Yeah, it was a big sigh.
Okay, so why did you sigh? Was it a good sigh?
Yeah,
was it a restful
sigh?
Yes. Was it a sigh of...
Yeah, it's a rest. It's because I know so often my own inability to live out that purpose that we just talked about, mm-hmm, to be all that, to obey. You know, I know my inability and my weakness and my struggles, and grace comes in because it's like, he loves me anyway.
Yeah.
I'm a failure. No, I'm a huge failure. For his glory,
yeah,
he will save me. And I mean, to me, there's actually more power in that. Like, if he were going to save me because he loves me, he could stop.
Yeah.
He should stop. Any normal person would stop. But he's going to save me for his name's sake. There's real security in that.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, that's a sigh of relief that he continues to pour out grace upon grace on me. And not just grace of forgiveness, but the grace to let me get back up and do it again,
mm-hmm,
over and over. So there's,
yeah,
that's why I take a sigh of relief.
Yeah. That unconditional, you know, love and just being there, and, you know, there's just something about that, you know. And I think, you know, you look at that and you see that, and I don't know. There's just an understanding about that. Once you see that, you see it, you experience it, and then, you know, you realize how bad you screw up and understand that he still loves you, he still wants you. It's phenomenal.
Mm. Yeah. I would echo both what you guys are saying. I think for me, when it comes to, like, the purpose, what am I here for, and union with Christ, that sigh of relief, Jared, that's what I did when I kind of just acknowledged my relationship with Christ and acknowledged that it was almost like if you were to be a fly on the wall watching me, you would, my life was not reflecting what I knew in my brain. And it was when I realized, because I lean more towards working hard as almost in a way to achieve or attain something. But when I realized that I could rest, heck, I could fail at something, and God's grace met me there because I had union with Christ, that I could rest in my imperfections because I had a union with Christ who was perfect. I will never be perfect, though I could rest in that. That sigh of, oh man, you know, yeah, there was just something beautiful about that. And that's, you know, why, you know, even why we think it matters today, you know, mm-hmm. and why we're talking about it, because there's so many people that just can't just rest. Even if they say it or they know it, if you were to watch their lives, it's just like you aren't just stopping and resting in this most vital, important thing, and that is your relationship with God, mm-hmm. and trusting and believing and knowing that God's grace meets you there, and no matter what you do, that in this vital place, it's just so important, mm-hmm. it's so life-giving, it's so freeing and liberating. And I can say all that out loud, mm-hmm. as if I've, like, I know union with Christ the best, but I don't. Every day is a new day,
yep.
and there's times where I'm like, oh man, I can just rest, and then there's times where I just don't believe it.
Right,
you know?
Totally.
But,
yep.
yeah.
It's like sometimes, I mean, and the reason for that is because, you know, it's like if I had a Lamborghini, I wouldn't generally use moonshine for gasoline. You know, I mean, it's probably not going to be good for the motor. I don't know a whole lot about engines, but I wouldn't suspect that's a good idea, you know. And that's what we often do.
Mm.
I mean, you know, we've got this body-soul thing that God has created for us, and we run it on self, on pride, on greed, on rules, on all these things, and God has made us to run on, to be fueled by Christ,
mm.
union with Him, recognize who we are, and then we can live.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, any concluding thoughts, Casey, Jared, when it comes to union with Christ and our purpose, kind of, you know, what we're here for?
I'll just add this. I think that if we learn to live for what we were made for,
mm.
we will be happier. I generally find that people who are not happy are seeking their own.
Mm.
I think when we can somehow, and I'm not trying to say I've got this all hammered down either, but I think if we can learn to live for the glory of God out of our union with Christ, we will actually, I know when you're looking at that, you're like, that's horrible. Why would I want to live for someone else's glory when I could live
yeah.
for my own? I get it.
Yeah.
But I think we'd be happier and more fulfilled lives because that's what we were made. You say purpose. That's the word. I mean, that is our purpose.
Yeah.
It seems like we'd be happier if we're living into our purpose.
Yeah. Well, and we were just discussing this morning, Jared. Like when you are living for something that you know is beyond you,
mm-hmm.
which is God, you know, like if you're living a God-centered life versus your centered life, or like me, you know, like I know I'm going to die. So if everything I accumulate or do, even if it's really good things and, you know, even if it uplifts Jim,
mm-hmm.
when I die, that is the end point. I might even leave a good legacy and it might go for, you know, hundreds of years, But then when we think of the bigger realm, the bigger story, God, who is the creator, is the one, you know, if we can live in a way that uplifts God,
then it matters
forever. Then it matters. Then it's more meaningful. Mm-hmm. It lasts forever, mm-hmm. versus just whatever my legacy leaves, mm-hmm. you know. I don't know.
Yep.
That's, you know, mm-hmm. that seems more meaningful.
Right. Totally. Right.
But it, mm-hmm. but then it takes me out of the center.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? And it doesn't negate the works of our hands either. I just want to point that out, because it yeah. might sound like we're saying unless you're singing hymns, your life is meaningless. I mean, it's not it. It's, you know, you can build roads, you can teach high school students, or you can create banking laws. I mean, yeah. all of those things are important and good and can be done in a way that honors God. I just need to say it's not.
It's almost like, are you glorifying God by building that road? Or you're glorifying yourself or human mm-hmm. by building that same right. exact road. It could be the right. exact same thing.
Yep.
You know, it could both could be very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a line in Revelation, one of my favorite verses. It says, the kings of the earth will bring their glory into the new heaven and the new earth. That some of the works of our hands matter into eternity.
Yeah.
And when they are done, whether they're done selfishly or whether they're done to honor our Creator, makes a difference. You know, that's my last final thought there.
Casey, any final thoughts before I send us away with a passage from Galatians?
I would just say sometimes it's not so much the physical thing as much as it is who we are when we're around those people. Mm-hmm. The way we exemplify ourselves. You know, I can say that the people that I'm around know that I'm a Christian because of the way I conduct myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because I carry a Bible into work with me every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that's really good, Casey. All right, we'll end this episode, or this part three about purpose and union with Christ from Galatians 2, starting verse 15. I'm just going to read it to the end. It's pretty powerful. But it just talks about being justified by faith. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if, in an endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. Verse 19, for through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose.
Sweet.
Leave it with that.
Make sure to tune in next week for the next episode.
What is your purpose? Seriously, think about that. What am I living for? What is the meaning of my life? Think about that question this week, and make sure you're subscribed to the podcast feed on iTunes. And let us know if you have any thoughts. Love to hear from you.